Attention students, the Jabrona University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Yeah, week three of the Wes Allen takeover on the draft pod, and we got a special one. It's been a couple of years, I think, but we got BJ Colangelo back in the in the space. So welcome
hi, back.
Welcome back, BJ.
Yeah,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you, Wes, for doing a great job as always scheduling. So we're hyped for this one. This is probably one of the most interesting drafts we've ever had, as typically it's everybody ripping each other's heads off, competing for the same picks or what we think may be the same picks. We're all have no idea what any of us are picking. So
yeah,
it's going to be very unique.
Yeah. But it's kind of fun because it's like, it's almost like a track and field event, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, normally we're all playing the same game. Like, this one, we're playing it, but we're playing it separate and just seeing who has the better list at the end. You know? Like,
well, I ain't running. I'll throw, like, a javelin or something, yeah. But I'm not trying to jump over some hurdles or anything like that.
So we're doing horror movies by state. What state does everybody have? Because
Ohio.
We'll hold that for.
We're holding it? Okay.
And never I'll mind. Let the we'll people know in the sweet rap.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, hey. I don't want to step on any sweet rap toes, all
right? That's right.
Hit him with that sweet rap then.
So, welcome back to the show, BJ. Wes hit us with a challenge. He's a host like TJ. I'm laving it like Spidey and Mary Jane. Zendaya is a rich girl with a lot of fame. That's a Tom Holland Oates bar. But let's jump in this scary car. Out of high school like a coming of age rom-com. Different colleges, so this ends at prom. Take a road trip in the mystery machine around the states. We be like drop dead Fred on some Phoebe Cates. First goal, get the fuck out of Ohio. Three of us live there and one like never mind though. So we drive to the great state of Illinois. Get some pizza from a killer delivery boy. Slice us up like a cutter from Nick Gage. Be like, fuck Domino's on some Lou Malnati's. Head down for a long drive to the U.S. Dick. Wonder what's up with these zombies on bath salts and shit. But that's the least scary thing about Florida. No need to explore. Get your backpack and leave like Dora. Fly up to New York, New York. Get a baby dropped on your head by a fucking stork. That was just a diversion. These bird whisperers yank us up and try to submerge us. Seems like every state got something scary, but nothing like Ohio and a dude named Gary. Don't wait for what fate awaits. Only way you want to be on ice is on skates. See the signs like Ace of Base. Don't leave us around your fam like Christian Cage. In the meantime, sit your ass in place. Zone out and stare into space and listen in as we draft scary movies from different states.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Incredible. The Lou Malnati's rhyme. Nice.
That was legit. That was bars.
I'm a big Lou Malnati's guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good, man. So I think everybody can figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, somehow I got lucky. I lived in New York all of 2 years, but thanks, Wes. Yeah. You know, I could have gotten Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Texas, or New York, and he gave me New York. James got Florida. That's where he's been.
Yeah.
Drew got Ohio, and BJ, you got Illinois.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone
How long
forgets
were you in
that
Illinois?
My whole life. Like, that's the thing. Everyone thinks I'm from Ohio. I lived in Ohio for, like, 6 years.
Oh, okay.
I'm born and raised yeah. Illinois, so...
Oh, shit. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I will say this, though. I actually really enjoyed the hell out of Columbus. That's where I was for 2 years, outside of the gray weather for, like, 90% of the year. The vibes were good in Columbus, though. I'll say that.
Yeah, the big C's have good vibes in Ohio. It's kind of a toss up once you leave there.
Yeah.
And by toss up, you mean toss out. Sorry, Wes.
Is it cool in Toledo? Yeah. Is it cool like 20 minutes south of there? Not really.
Well,
hey, we can relate as in Florida. We got some good stuff and then some just whack ass stuff. So.
Yeah, we have mostly
we're all together.
Yeah, my parents keep trying to get me to come down to Florida. They live in Lake Worth, and the big thing right now is they're like, "Did you hear? It's an LGBTQ sanctuary city." And I'm like, "I still gotta go in the fucking airport. Like, yeah. That's the problem."
Yeah, you gotta go through the wasteland to get to the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you know, St. Pete is a very like
St. Pete school.
Yeah, it's a very friendly city for that, and like, but yeah, but also it's just peppered in there. It's just all types of hate. So
long sleeve shirts, the back of the sunglass thing where they leave them hanging, sandals, Salt Life stickers, the starter kit.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, stop giving away all my horrors.
Yeah.
All right, so I dropped.
Oh my god, like if we did the same thing but like starter kits. Oh.
Before the starter kit.
Add it to your list. You got plenty. Keep the pod going.
The Ohio starter kit.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I just see how many I'm guilty. It's like when we did those the bro draft.
Oh, yeah, with Alexis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she got James to burn a pair of shorts.
Yeah. You know, I pulled them out recently, and I feel bad every time I put them on now. They're, like, red-colored shorts, and I was told that that's a bro thing to have, like, colorful shorts.
The salmon color, specifically.
Yeah.
Yep. And then James is like, oh, yeah. It was great.
And, you know, even the basic bitch one, I had a couple things on that.
I'm fine. I'll be a bro. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
All right. What's the order, James?
So here we go. And, BJ, you do have a steel card and a re-rack. What do we call the re-rack?
How's the steel card going to work today?
Oh.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
I'm just going to keep that in my back pocket for next time. We're good.
But you do have a re-rack, so if you don't like this this order.
We've introduced something recently.
Oh, yeah.
2 weeks ago called the Rumpelstiltskin card. Or I guess we'll call it a card. But if somebody makes, like, just a terrible pick, you can Rumpelstiltskin their ass, and they have to keep that on their team.
No. They can't drop it.
Rumpelstiltskin because I drafted Rumpelstiltskin in a draft. And everybody looked at me a little sideways. Yeah, I still hold to the fact that he was creepy as hell, though.
You just don't know where he's from.
Yeah.
Name the movie, and then you can have the pick.
I still can't name it. Wes named it for me, but
yeah, that was a TV show though. Wes didn't help you at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, so here we go. We dropped. Oh, go to jabroniu.com. Check out all the shows on the network.
Just gonna hit that real fast. Yeah, perfect.
And actually, BJ, do you have anything that you want to pitch up front right now before we get rolling?
Sure. Yeah. I'm a writer editor over at Slash Film. I've been talking kind of nonstop about Five Nights at Freddy's. So if you have kids that are bugging you about it, I can be their cool aunt now. And then I also co-host a podcast called This Ends at Prom with my wife, Harmony, where we talk about teen girl movies. And because it's October, we're talking about nothing but spooky movies. So we are doing The Exorcist, The Faculty, Scooby-Doo live action, and Carrie.
Oh,
look
hell
at that.
Yeah.
I threw Scooby-Doo in. Had no idea.
Man. We try to do one movie each season that's, like, okay for people who aren't super into horror. So, like, we'll do, like, Casper or Teen Witch or something like that. Yeah. And one of my writers at Slash Film, the amazing Valerie Ettenhofer, is a Scooby scholar. Wrote the complete oral history of Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. It was incredible. So it's like, hey, you want to come talk about live-action Scooby-Doo with us? And they're
that. Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, I always say, like, horror for the family. Like, when I talk about horror for the family, Scooby-Doo is, like, intro. So my kid got into Scooby-Doo at about 2.5-3 years old. He's much braver than I was at that age. And like Scooby-Doo was like literally his intro to horror.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that Scooby's kind of like the ultimate gateway for everybody. And, you know, he's been around for 60 years. So,
yeah, Scooby's like weed and the Mystery Machine. Hey, look, there you go.
And spoiler, she might have just named two people on my two of the things on my team.
Oh, shit. Ooh. Ooh. All right. So the ball's landed. James has first pick. Drew second. Andy third. BJ, you're rounding us out.
All right.
James in Florida. I feel bad, James. You got the short end of the stick, I feel like. Mine was so simple.
Well, Florida has some stuff that's pretty classic. I did have to scrape the bottom of the barrel by, like, my last two picks, I feel like, but I got some good...
My list's wild as hell, and I'm very excited.
Oh, man. Yeah, you have, like... I mean, I have, like, a beast, too, but, like, you have, like... I'm sure you'll pick it, but it's, like, you know... One of the top. It's one of the top four in horror. Like,
yeah, I have a movie I'm still trying to bounce back from after I watched it for the first time today. But I'll get into that later, James. I'll let you go.
All right, so here we go for my first pick. This guy got his start in Florida training mermaids at Weekiwachee, and that was like his thing. And he was a big underwater guy, and he played. The creature from the Black Lagoon, 1954, did all the water shots that the creature did. So this guy, Riku Browning, I'm picking Creature from the Black Lagoon, but I'm talking about Riku Browning because that dude's badass. He's also nice. He's also the dude that trained the dolphin for Flipper.
Flipper.
He trained Flipper, for God's sakes. This dude has been all over the place.
I almost said Free Willy, which shows I don't know my animals.
That's a whale.
I know the Michael Jackson music video. That's about it.
Jumps up.
But yeah, Riku Browning, I mean, this dude is like a Florida staple. And Creature from the Black Lagoon is one of the most classic horror monsters of all time. So that's pretty, I feel like this is a pretty solid first pick for Florida.
Yeah.
No, that's sneaky good. Like, I didn't even think about the fact that there's probably a lot of, like, water type horror stuff that you can get from Florida.
Yeah. I don't know for sure if the Black Lagoon is in Florida, like, in the movie, because I don't know if they actually say that at any point, but it was, a lot of it was filmed in, like, Jacksonville area, so.
I think it counts. Hey, yeah. Hometown. There we are.
Yeah, I think so,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I feel like there's definitely a Gilman in the Everglades just hiding out. Like,
yeah, for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
It might just be a regular ass person. Like, you know what I'm saying?
One of these days, that guy on TikTok that's like, "Hi, I'm barefoot in the Florida Everglades. I'm looking for a boa constrictor or whatever the hell." He's going to be like, "I found a Gilman."
Oh, man. 100%.
Yeah.
It's just some dude that's been living out in the swamp for fucking years.
What a stud old Riku Browning is, though.
Yeah, dude, that guy's a badass.
Perfect hair. Absolutely perfect hair.
All right, Drew.
Me? Okay, cool. Yeah, like I said, I have one of the, you know, one of the big ones, too. So I'm going to go with that number one. I'm going to go with the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Mm, yeah.
Where is it in Ohio?
Springwood, Ohio. Mm. Imaginary town. But, you know, old Wes Craven, he's from Cleveland area, so that's what he chose to pick. So
is Springwood technically North Ohio?
Probably. I don't think it's fictional, so.
Yeah, it's supposed to be Northeast Ohio and... The long-standing rumor is that Freddy Krueger is inspired by this weird guy in Cleveland that Wes Craven used to see as a kid.
Oh,
so,
wow.
You know, that says a whole lot about yeah. Ohio.
His name was Gary Fairbanks.
I was going to say, Gary born in Cleveland?
Gary's got lore on this show.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I I kind of wonder, like, what that, like, because I read that where it's like, yeah, he's inspired. Like, man, I want to know that guy's story now.
which one of the Friday the 13th feels the most authentic Ohio to you?
You mean Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare? Yeah,
why did I do that? I don't know my animals. I don't know dolphins from whales, Freddy from Jason.
Jason has a machete.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Man, I don't know. They all seem pretty California, if you ask me, but...
I don't know. I think you could get away with Nightmare 2 being the most Ohio because it's a movie about gay panic. So.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Don't California my Ohio.
Yeah.
I saw somebody with a Florida version of that last week.
You know, I think probably Freddy versus Jason because, like, there's the whole cornfield party and stuff.
Mm. Oh yeah. Yeah, cornfield rave.
Yeah,
that was a weird ass thing in Columbus. There was this place where it was just statues of corn, and it was the weirdest fucking thing I've ever seen. Like, I drove by it and like took pictures and all that kind of stuff. But like, yeah, it was just like a bunch of corn as like statues.
I thought you said porn field. At first. I was like, porn statue. That sounds like I would go there, but
corn statue. Yeah, no, that's in Vegas. Yeah.
Is it like the band Corn, or it's actually like eaters of corn?
Yes.
Jonathan Davis, and that is me.
No, but it's fucking strange, and it's creepy, like, especially like on a foggy night, if you go to this like corn statue field.
How many statues were there?
At least 20.
I feel like
was there also a scarecrow statue to guard the corn statue?
I don't know. I just remember seeing all the corn. Yeah, Dublin, Ohio. It's called the Field of Corn in Dublin, Ohio. So look that up, and
it's like the terracotta soldiers, but it's corn.
It's probably
some civilization is going to unbury it one day.
I feel like it's just one person that just loves corn so much, and like they just only make corn statues and all corn art. And they're like, I got to open this up to the public. All right, Andy.
There you go. I put it in the chat so you guys can see it. It makes no sense. I don't understand it, but
that's so corny. Yeah.
It is. All right. First things first, this is pretty exciting. I got to show my kid this for the first time today. He was off school. I took off work and watched this movie. And Drew actually sent you one of his like reactions to it, which was so fucking cool. But I'm going Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Good choice.
Sure. Yeah, so 5 years old, this kid is a G compared to me. Cause like, he just got so excited when, you know, Monster came up and grabbed Sigourney and like pulled her in, and he's like, oh, did you see that? And I was just like, wow. I was like, is this going to terrify him?
Nope. Andy's under a blanket.
Yeah. But this movie is just so New York. It's not even funny. It's one of those things I loved, like, when I was growing up, those movies that felt like super New York City, you know, like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the Ghostbusters, all that kind of stuff. So this one's super dope. And you get, you know, Slimer, you get Stay Puft. It's just a badass movie.
Hell yeah. That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
but yeah, so I was impressed with him. I was like, 5 years old, I would have been terrified, and no, he was a lot. The first scare, like in the library, where the lady just turns out and turns around, and he just started laughing. I was like, this is unbelievable. So now I got to figure out how to amp it up without also like, you know,
traumatizing him.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite.
I don't know what that next step up is, but he's ready for the next step up.
You know, my favorite joke from Ghostbusters is it's when
one.
Actually, maybe this is Ghostbusters 2 if I'm thinking about it now. Never mind, cancel that.
Yeah, don't talk about his second pick yet.
I'm gonna go in order and take every single one of them.
But the joke is when Sigourney Weaver says to Bill Murray, "Can you put the baby down?" And Bill Murray goes, "You stink, and you're a terrible burden on your mother." Then he puts the baby down to sleep. I just think that's funny.
Dude, I was just thinking about that because I watched Wayne's World 2 yesterday, and like I love those like jokes like that, like because that happens a lot with Garth, where she's like. It's like, "Take me, Garth." He's like, "Where? I'm low on gas and you need a jacket."
You need a jacket.
I love that. Yeah, it's like those, great. You know, those like Leslie Nielsen type jokes that are just killer.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right, BJ.
All right. So my first round pick is quite possibly Chicago's most famous slasher. The name of Daniel Robitaille. You better know him as, don't say it once, don't say it twice, definitely don't say it five times, Candyman.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah.
He is the menace of Cabrini Green. Tony Todd is so scary. He is one of the only figures to ever genuinely, like, terrify me as a kid, and it was because it was in Chicago, so I could recognize locations, and then... You know, it's the sleepover thing. You go, you lock someone in the bathroom and you go, "Say it five times in the mirror." You go, "Pussy, do it." And then you're crying by the end of it. Yeah.
You had Candyman. We have Magic Mike.
You know, this movie was so terrifying as a kid that I had somebody tell me the plot of this movie just verbally. I didn't watch the movie. They told me the plot and I was scared. I slept in my parents' bedroom for like a week. Just from hearing the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, so he's got a chest full of bees and a hand. And his voice is so low, it vibrates in your bones. Yeah. You're like, awesome, this is a nightmare.
Well, and it was the thing, like, you did whenever, like, you went over to, like, friends' houses to stay the night or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that was, like, super terrifying. You were just, like, in your head, you were waiting for something to happen just because you wanted it to happen, even though you didn't want it to happen.
Yeah.
Every time. Yeah. Every time. And, like, everyone's always like, "Oh, we used to play Bloody Mary." And I was like, "We played Candyman, and it was way scarier."
Yeah.
That motherfucker's real.
Well, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh, man.
I remember there was this, what was the other, like, Virginia Woolf?
Virginia Madsen.
Yeah, or that's, no. Like, there was,
or
like,
actual Virginia Woolf? Like,
yeah, like, wasn't that, like, another one where you, if you said her name or something?
Virginia Woolf is definitely, like, a play and an author.
I was thinking, like, that. I know there was, like, other ones, too, besides, like, Bloody Mary and Candyman, like...
Beetlejuice is what you're thinking of, I think.
I mean, no, Beetlejuice not is one, too, yeah.
That's
yeah,
not you're what you're thinking of. Like, Virginia Woolf, Virginia Woolf, Virginia Woolf.
Yeah. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
And then my friend got murdered.
Virginia Woolf is crazy. That's the one that nobody knows about, but it's the only real one. All right, BJ, you're back.
All right, my second one. This is the obvious one. It may have been shot in Pasadena, but we are pretending we are in Haddonfield, Illinois.
Yeah.
Ignore the palm trees. Michael motherfucking Myers in the Halloween franchise.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Guy's so great. And... like, Michael Myers, like, they're gonna keep making Halloween movies forever because the person who owns the rights is just gonna keep giving it out and until he has so much money he can't function. But Michael Myers is my first slasher. I was six. I was trick-or-treating. I wanted to watch it so bad, and my mom was like, "Okay, this is the year." I had been asking since I was like three, and when I finally turned six, she was like, "All right, go trick-or-treating, come home, it's on AMC Fear Fest, we're gonna watch it." And I thought it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I still rewatch original Halloween, and it is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. John Carpenter is the master. I've got to interview Nick Castle, who played the original Michael Myers. He is a very fucking cool guy. And it's just really nice to be able to have a movie that is so scary and so seminal, and everybody who works on it also be awesome.
Yeah,
that's super cool. So I can show this next year. I go from Ghostbusters to Halloween. Is that like a feels like a crazy jump, though?
I mean, I was also watching like Stephen King's It when I was four, so like okay, the groundwork okay. was already like I was.
I got you.
Yeah.
I'm like Wes's kids, like
yeah.
just watching psychotic shit way too
young. Like when he told me like about because they drafted movies for me to watch, and they took Babadook, and he mentioned that Roxy has a poster in her room, and I was like, oh, so I went into it like totally like. All right, I get a little bit of a
you were watching Monster
from the witches,
Squad.
You know, and then all of a sudden I was like, "That was the scariest fucking movie you sent me." What? I thought that was going to be like you said that Roxy has a poster in her room. I thought that was going to be like a little bit of a relief, and no, that one messed me up.
Yeah,
you know, truthfully, Halloween they doesn't have any like. Big time gore scenes or anything, right? That's all like kind of off camera kills.
Not really. Like, yeah, it's mostly off camera. I mean, there are titties. I don't know how you feel about seeing PJ Souls'
like
titties.
That's just a bonus for Andy, you know.
Yeah.
Dad gets a little something too.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna show him my next movie in another few months. You know, I won't tell my wife about it.
Yeah, it's Yeah, I mean, that one's all about suspense. So that's, I mean, that's one thing
it
I
might
love
be,
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, your kid might be just going nuts. Like, I mean, who's he going to kill next? Hell yeah. It's going to be all about it. He loves the kills.
Yeah, he does. He does like that stuff. So he'll probably be into it. But I don't know if he'll be into this movie as much as I am. This is, like, over the last few years, kind of become one of my favorite, like, Halloween month movies, and this is easily my favorite Frankenstein. I'm going Frankenhooker.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I watched it again recently. I love it. Like, the whole thing is absolutely hilarious. It's but it, like, also there's like a good message kind of hidden underneath everything there. With some you know, women making their own decisions. This dude's thinking, like, he could bring back his girl and, like, also, like, gets thrown off when he's like, wait a second. She's not exactly what I wanted her to be. She's all of these other things because he took the body parts. But there is some crazy-ass stuff in this movie. A whole lot of titties, including a pile-up of blown-up titties. but, like, it's just it's one of those movies if I ever like see it on it's on Peacock right now I can't like not watch it. It's if you have not seen Frankenhooker, I cannot like suggest it enough.
I think you brought this up on a past draft and I hadn't seen
it.
I brought it up
on a couple.
Yeah, I still haven't yet, but I'm gonna watch it this Halloween season for sure.
Oh yeah, you'll love it. It's fantastic. There's some weird science to it, and, you know, it's just, there's a lot of absurdity. When certain things blow up, they purposely, like, I heard they purposely made it, like, look fake so they could avoid, like, the NC-17 rating. And it looks fake, and it's hilarious because it looks fake at the same time. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good.
All right. Hell yeah. Frankenhooker. All right, Drew.
All right, so definitely had some competition with BJ and her 1-2 punch, but I feel like I got a good one too, you know. And I'm gonna go with Silence of the Lambs, which is revealed to be, Bill's house is in Belvedere, Ohio. So, yeah.
So, it really is.
Yeah.
It is the bane of my wife's existence as a trans woman from Ohio is how many people's one and only reference point is Buffalo Bill in Ohio.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
Man. I can't, listen, I grew up middle of nowhere, Ohio, but I can't imagine that's, like, somebody's, I would never be like, draw that fucking line and be like, oh, like in Silence of the Lambs.
You'd be surprised how often it happens.
Oh my god, that is insane.
Wow.
But I will say on like a fun note, are any of you familiar with Silence of the Lambs the musical?
No.
No.
Add that soundtrack to your rotation. It is incredible. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I've been in it. I played Catherine, so I got to live my dream of being a fat woman in a hole. It was great. But, like, the music is so goddamn funny, and if you like the movie, it only makes it funnier. So, highly recommend.
Hell yeah. I also like the fact that this movie was released on Valentine's Day. That's
how
pretty
romantic.
Yeah.
How many first dates, you know?
Yeah. How many first dates and last dates at the same time?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Man, that
let's
would
go
be
see this romantic comedy, The Silence of the Lambs.
What was your favorite part? Oh, when he said he could smell her cunt. That was my favorite.
100%. That's when I knew it was true love.
I mean,
we also have this theory that that line has to be smell her cunt. First time my wife did this, I thought I was going to fucking die. She was like, do you think that it had to be cunt and not pussy because it would turn into Jodie Foster saying, he said he could smell my push.
Oh, oh my God. I hope that there's somewhere like on the cutting room floor, like there's her saying that line. They're like, nope,
so we got to
change the cunt like, quick. Yeah. Just different ones too, like she's just going through like all the,
snatch.
All the the vagina,
vagina,
cooter,
smell my cooter.
That sounded really bad for me, Drew.
That's awesome. All right.
I just, let's let the record show. I did not have the first P-bomb.
You're welcome.
All right. So
I think the other time you probably didn't have it was when Ashley was on.
I know, right?
Hell yeah.
So now for my next pick, I'm going to take the third movie in George Romero's Night of the Living Dead trilogy. And I'm going to go Day of the Dead. Which takes place in Florida, they're in like a bunker for a while, and zombies trying to get in and get them and all that. So Day of the Dead.
That means you get bub. You get bub in that. Oh, jealous.
Hell yeah.
James has a fucking powerful one too. Also,
so, yeah.
As far as like creatures,
Florida's not too bad. Yeah.
I didn't realize Florida was like coming strong like that.
I'm bulldozing through my good ones now, though. Like,
now you're dropping into my Frankenhooker territory.
That's right, definitely. You went Frankenhooker number two in New York, though. Like, I feel
hell
like there's,
yeah, I did.
Like,
hell yeah, I did.
I think Jason was in Manhattan at some point, and I don't know why.
He does take a boat ride. Hey. That's the real title of that movie. Jason Takes a Boat Ride.
Friday the 13th, 8. Jason Takes a Boat Ride.
Yeah, because it's like 5 minutes of New York.
Yeah, that's well. He punches a dude's head off at some point, so, right? I think that's what happens. If I remember right.
You're getting on my list.
All right. Well, for my next pick, I'm going to take one that takes place in Florida in portions of it. But then also takes place in New York. So this Andy could potentially take this pick, but I'm going to take it. Yeah, you could steal this one. So I'm going to go with Keanu Reeves, Al Pacino, and one of Charlize Theron's greatest roles of all time. And I'm going Devil's Advocate.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
There's so many great lines from this movie that this is a great movie, truthfully. And Keanu acts his fucking ass off in this movie, too. Keanu he's legit when he's legit, you know?
Hey, I love me some Keanu.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking hey.
I'm talking about the movie with the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devil's Advocate.
Right.
See, that's what it should have been called.
Yeah. Yeah. Missed opportunity.
But yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of crazy devil stuff going on here. There's people sacrificing shit in the subways. There's tons of great horror stuff in this, even though it's not technically a horror movie, more like I would say suspense, but It's great.
I think it counts. It's the supernatural.
Yeah.
Which, you know, kind of Wes was hinting towards we could go to that area.
Or adjacent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of the movie, Keanu was a Gainesville lawyer. And then Pacino comes down there, old devil Pacino comes down and says, hey, you're a real good liar and a real asshole. Come on up here in New York. Be my guy.
Now you can really thrive.
And then, truthfully, Charlize Theron is the one that gets all the shit in this movie. She's the one that takes all the brunt of every bad decision by every man in the movie. So, yeah. Feel bad for Charlize.
That was a great choice. You're navigating the hell out of this draft, James.
Hell yeah.
Look at you go.
All right, Drew.
Okay. I'll go with another one who is, you know, there's a character from this movie becoming a Halloween icon. You always find him in spirit nowadays, and I'm going Trick or Treat.
Oh.
Ah, yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
Shout out to the school bus.
See, that might be your next step after Ghostbusters. It's Trick or Treat. That's a great gateway movie.
Yeah.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
That's a good call. Something I can handle, something he can handle, you know. Because pretty soon, once he hits like 6.5, it'll be stuff he can handle, and then I can't.
Yeah. I think there's another fun one I think I have for him, you know, maybe even this year. So
I will say this: when I think of like scary Halloween shit, mm-hmm. I do think of Ohio.
It's the fall weather, man.
I wrote a piece for Cleveland Scene magazine probably like 6 or 7 years ago about like, why do so many horror movies take place in Ohio? And a big part of it, like the seasons are a big thing, but also Ohio gets used as like, you know, anywhere USA all the time.
Yeah.
So that's part of it, because then it suddenly feels like very relatable to wherever you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was it? Mansfield or something like that? There's like a creepy
prison. Yeah.
Yeah, there was really good like haunted houses and shit when I was living in Ohio. I remember going to them, like they just went all out. Like this is what they were dedicating things to versus like, you know, our kind of Disneyed out some of our Florida ones.
Oh yeah, Ohio, scary fucking place.
Yeah. It's where I live.
I still want to do, I think my, you know, my retirement plan is just going to be buying a place up there that has like just a barn that's kind of like in the middle of nowhere and doing like in the fall, just showing like a different horror movie every week, like just in the barn, like set up a theater. Like, I think that would be really fucking cool and creepy for, like, the Halloween thing. You just sell concessions, you know? Like, that way you can get around the whole, nobody's paying to watch this movie.
The movie just happened to be on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. These are just, who bumped the DVD player? What the hell? What's going on here? All right, Andy.
Oh, man. All right. I'll start off with the fact that I know this is a New York staple, and I know people fucking adore it. I hate this movie. I watched it today. I fucking hated it.
Is this the first time you incredible. Watched it?
But I fucking hated it. Like, maybe my most hated character of all time. I'm going Rosemary's Baby.
Oh.
What?
That's an amazing movie.
I know. I fucking hated it because of the way that I felt.
Oh. Wait,
oh, well, then it did its job.
Right. That's what I mean.
You're like, wait, is my child the devil's baby? I can acknowledge
its incredibleness and like how it was done, how it was acted. I don't ever want to see that thing again. Like, holy shit. It brought my mood down so much. Like, so I watched that and then I was like, hey, Grayson, come here. Let's watch Ghostbusters, you know?
Just gonna wash that stank off you a little bit.
Oh, my God. That husband, That's the biggest piece of shit movie character in movie history. Oh my God. And they didn't show like the devil baby, which made it even worse.
Well, yeah.
Because they didn't show the baby.
Well, Mia Farrow's face is all you need.
If I would have seen the baby, it would have came across like, especially back then, it would have came across like, oh, okay, that's, you know, whatever. But the fact that they didn't show it almost made it more terrifying.
No, definitely.
I was angry watching the movie. Like, I felt myself fuming. Like, I'm like, don't listen to any of these pieces of shit. Like, what are you doing going back to that same doctor? Like, I just, my blood was boiling. It was not an enjoyable movie experience, even though I can acknowledge how well done it was. It's one of those ones that I feel like I need to step away from it for a while to, like, really, truly appreciate it. But, like, right away, I was like, oh, you know,
hail Satan.
That dude, what a piece of shit. What a piece of shit. Yeah.
That's a fucked up movie.
It's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But for the record, fuck Roman Polanski. All my homies hate Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
It's a damn good movie.
He's not a great, he's not a good guy.
Yeah.
He might be shittier than the guy in the movie.
It might be.
Because he's real.
Maybe that's why he wrote that character so well.
Yeah.
Because he's also human garbage.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, BJ, you're back.
All right. This is the end of my, like, super heavy hitters. He might be currently tearing up Hackensack on season 3 of his series, but Mr. Charles Lee Ray got his start terrorizing the world in Child's Play as Chucky in Chicago, Illinois.
Yeah, love that.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes.
Wow,
your
team is insane.
I know. It's going to get weirder from here. But yeah, I love Chucky. I love Child's Play. I was on another like drafting podcast called Screen Drafts where we did a mega draft of all of the Chucky films. And it was like the most competitive I've ever been for anything. Because
was TV in it too?
We did not include TV. It was just the movies. And fortunately, the person I was with, we both agreed Bride of Chucky is the best of the Chucky films because it is the one that encompasses what this franchise has become the best. This is obviously an audio medium, so people can't see this. But like, I have a good guy's sign on the door behind me as we're recording right now.
Yeah.
I fucking love Chucky.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Chucky's hot out there in the merch industry as well. Like, I see, like, all new Chucky shit that looks pretty cool out there, like, all the time.
Oh, it's so good. And if you haven't watched the series that's on USA and Sci-Fi, I highly recommend it. It's on season 3. Chucky's in the White House right now. It's awesome. Devin Sawa was on his 4th character. And if you don't follow Chucky on Twitter, also do that because he bullies Devin Sawa all day and it's so funny.
That's fantastic. God. That is awesome. Like,
it'll just be like at Chucky's real and then he'll like say something to Devin Sawa and be like, what do you want, dickhead? It's great.
Yeah, you saying that about the merch, like Vinny was just on the PWT. They actually reviewed Freddy versus Jason and he said like people come in there like to the show, he's like, there are kids all the time like buying the good guy dolls, and he's just like, you know what that is, right?
Oh yeah.
That's the thing, is it can live both ways though.
Yeah,
you know what
kids,
I'm saying?
Kids are into it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's because they have these like little moments of heart, like on the series in the first season, there's like this moment where the kid Chucky's terrorizing comes out to him as gay. And he's like, I don't care. I got a gender fluid kid. I'm not a monster. And it's like, fuck yeah. So now all these like little kids are like, wait, no, I love him. Like he's a murderer, but even he knows to not be shitty to gay people. Awesome.
Oh, man. I'm looking at some of this Chucky stuff on Twitter. Wow.
It's hilarious, right? I got sent a like a press box before season 3 because it's, you know, it's the White House. So they sent like a yard sign, like a presidential yard sign that's like watch Chucky. So I put it in my apartment window because I don't have a yard in Los Angeles.
Oh, this is so good.
That's fucking
just
awesome.
All this Chucky stuff. I love there's like a Megan thing. It said Universal's like, meet Megan, your new best friend. And then Chucky retweets it. Everybody trying to be me.
It's so, whoever runs that account, I hope is getting paid handsomely because they're funny.
Dolls Coming to Life was the scariest thing to me as a kid because I saw a movie that I think it's called Magic.
Oh, with the dummy?
Yeah.
And Anthony Hopkins? Magic's fucking scary.
I happened to stay home from school one day, and I stayed at my grandma's house because my parents had to go to work, and my grandma just left the TV on, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I watched this movie, Magic, and I was scared out of my fucking mind. And then just the idea of Child's Play was enough for me to say, nope.
You want scary?
I've seen
it
since.
Go into a dark room as a child and look at an American Girl doll on a shelf.
I'm telling you.
Holy fuck.
I had this doll, her name was Mirabelle, and she could sync with VHS tapes, like on the TV, and her earrings would glow and she would talk, but when her batteries would go out, then she'd be in the middle of the closet and she'd just be like, hey, you want to play? Hey, friend. And I was like, get it out!
I would have burned my house down. I would have left.
She's so scary. Like, her mouth moved. It was too much.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I went to this one, like, toy show thing one time, and I walked past an American Girl booth, and I had to, like, turn and just walk around, like, another way, because, like, it was terrifying.
It's too much. It's just too much.
It was just, like, shelves of American Girl dolls just staring with their little, like, perfect faces, but also terrifying, and it was like, too much for me.
They also have the American Girl doll teeth, where you just see, like, the little bit of the front two teeth, and for some reason it's just a little unsettling.
It is.
Multiple dolls staring at you for like in any space is very weird. It's always weird.
Yeah.
All right, BJ, you're back.
All right, so my next one, getting into like horror adjacent weirdo territory, Michael Rooker's greatest role, Henry, in Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer.
I did not know this
one.
Ooh, you're going to have a bad time. loosely based on the crimes of Henry Lee Lucas, it's Michael Rooker just fucking killing a lot of people in Chicago and being really gross and horrible and wonderful and so unbelievably scary. It's like a movie that is so disgusting that you just want to shower when you're done.
Okay.
But Michael Rooker's incredible. Like, he's unbelievable. He's so good in it. But it's like, you watch it and you're like, why did I do that?
Yeah. He's so young in this, too. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. He's got Andy's head of hair right now.
I just got a still shot of that smile. That's creepy as fuck.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in that. So that's, you know, that's a movie that I don't say is for everybody. Like, that's not like a, ooh, fun time Halloween party movie. That's like you need to, like, decompress when you're done watching it.
That's going to ruin your night.
This is a 3 o'clock in the afternoon type movie for me.
Yeah. Watch this first thing in the morning when it's still daylight outside when you get done.
Oh, man.
Instead of watching The View, you know, after you watch the Today Show,
I'm a View head.
Yeah. I know you are.
I'm a View.
Is that what the fandom calls themselves? View heads?
Fuck.
It's what we call ourselves.
My other car is a View head.
Oh, man. I am excited to see this. I love me some Michael Rooker.
Oh, yeah.
You might not after this. You might be like, I can't look at him the same way again. But I will say, like, when you watch this movie, though, and then you think about what he's done with the rest of his career, and you think, like, I'm Mary Poppins, bitch, and it's like, I've seen you, like, disembowel people. James Gunn's a sick man. I love him.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty crazy. I went to a horror convention like 2 weekends ago, and Devin Sawa was there and Michael Rooker. So two people from your two movies.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, here's another couple classic actors in a movie that is another one. I love these style of movies, these types of movies. You get a little bit of it with Frankenhooker. I'm going with two acting legends, John Goodman, Daniel Stern. Give me Chud.
Yeah.
Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Yeah, or whatever else it actually was called. But, like, also, this is, I was thinking about this, like, you think about the shower scene from Psycho being terrifying. Well, there's a shower scene in here that's super terrifying too.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, that's like true. You can't, like, between those two, like, I'm not hopping in the shower, you know? I'm just kidding. I love a good shit.
Chud is what did it in the end. Psycho, when he was almost doing get in the shower again, but then he's like, oh my God, there's Chuds.
Yeah, I just keep like a coat hanger right next to my shower, you know, so I can shove it down in there, you know. Hey, man,
I get it.
Chud on this.
I don't take baths because of Nightmare on Elm Street, so.
There you go. Yeah. That's why you asked me to take one together with you when I was there last time. Yeah. Give out these rubber ducky, like, board shorts. And he's like, you mind getting my back? It was a good time, though.
We recreated pictures of, of our childhood with our brothers.
Exactly. But, like, those toxic waste, like sci-fi horror type things, like, I really enjoy those, especially when you mix in like the city with it. Like, I don't know. It's just, these are like feel good horror movies to me in a way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I know why you like Chud. It's because it's like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, but horror.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, it's you know, you've graduated out of the Secret of Ooze and now you have Chuds.
Yeah, exactly.
That's probably accurate.
And Chud is probably more like what a turtle would look like if it did get covered in the...
that's a fair point. Oh, man. I love me some young Daniel Stern in this movie, though.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, yeah. And John Hurd. John Hurd's incredible in this.
You heard? You think John Hurd used to say that? I feel like it would have. You heard?
I would never not if I had that as a last name. It'd be in my business cards. It'd be at the bottom of my, like, headshots.
You just in met John Hurd.
Elementary school,
you
they're
heard?
Like, John? John? Heard that.
All right, Drew.
All right, well, to keep those faces of horror going, I'm going to go Scream 2.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
So at the whatever the college was apparently in Ohio. So,
man, yeah, y'all are just banger after banger. I got New York, and like I thought I had a good. You guys are destroying.
I actually probably would take. There's two others I kind of wanted to take higher, but just to keep the, like I said, the faces of horror thing going. But I gotta cut it short at 5. I gotta go something else. So, yeah, man. Yeah, you know, it's not as great as the first one, but
it does have Jamie Kennedy.
It does. Yeah.
I love Scream 2. I love Scream 2 so much.
David Arquette gets stabbed 1,000 times and still comes back.
At least that amazing sequence in the radio station.
Yeah.
Ugh, so good.
Yeah. I like the whole beginning, too, with the stab movie and everything.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think that's cool, like the movie premiere.
I can't watch it the same after doing a scary movie.
I know. The scary movie, the way they parodied.
The knife in the ear?
Yeah. Well, now I can't watch Poltergeist without thinking about Sean and the Clown.
Yeah, that's true too.
No, come back here. Oh man.
Yeah,
Scream 2.
A lot of fun.
Back to me. And
yours is like the most interesting to me, James.
Wes did say Cult.
He did.
Movie too.
He did.
And I feel like I feel like the director of this movie only makes cult movies. So maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to take this movie. And it does have some pretty horrifying sequences in the movie. It's not a horror movie at all. Mm. But I'm going to go Larry Clark's Bully.
That counts.
Okay, good. There's no way it's not a cult.
Horrifying.
Yeah. So this is a movie about these kids in South Florida that end up killing their bully. And the way that they do it by the end of the movie is fucking crazy. Like, just the scene alone of each kid coming across the bully and taking their hits on the guy to the point where the guy eventually, they're stabbing him, running by and stabbing him to the point where he's dead. And it's fucking crazy. But it's
not all seen this one either.
Yeah. It's a fucked up movie. All around. I mean, the guy was a piece of shit to the kids. The kids are pieces of shit to the guy. You know, everybody's a piece of shit in the movie. So there's no redeeming factors. But yeah.
Damn. So is this like Kids, kind of?
Yeah, it's the guy who did Kids.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fucked up. I mean, there's not really much else to talk
about. Yeah, it's just
fucked up. It's just fucked up.
And like, it's great. It's fucked up.
It's also a classic South Florida story, I feel like, you know? Welcome to Florida. Yeah.
So. We stab people.
This does remind me, like, Andy and I kind of talked about this, where I think we should revisit this, like, you know, as a later draft, where we just broaden it to, like, we just do the same draft, but with all movies.
All movies out of that state, yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, we're thinking a state series or a city series kind of deal.
Ohio cleans house, then. Every teen movie ever made is in Ohio or Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I was, like, going through the list. Man, there's so many killer ones I just wanted to pick.
Hell, yeah. We'll pick this.
Bit, like, with Florida.
Oh, sorry. I went over top of you.
It's fine.
Or maybe Kevin Aldridge did.
Hey, Kevin, you can come on top of me. No, wait. That's not what I meant, Kevin.
But you can.
It's what you want. It's what he meant.
Anytime, Kevin. Ruin his angelic voice with my filth.
Jeez. He likes it.
Oh, man. Drew, I'll tell you this before you take your last pick. If you don't take a certain movie that somebody's in with your fifth pick, then I'm just going to say you hate this person.
Hey.
All right.
You'll figure it out.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Raven, Sheedy.
To see if Drew hates somebody. You know, I got something real quick. Super easy one. This shirt I'm wearing is from a company, and I don't usually like pitch companies, I feel like, but in this case, Fresh Clean Threads. This is probably the best t-shirt I have ever worn in my whole life.
Not a paid advertisement.
Not a paid advertisement, but you can go to the website, try to type in the draft pod, see if a discount pops, you know, you're lucky. Congratulations.
I bought a 5-pack of the black shirts. I fucking love those.
Dude, they're amazing. I have dad bod, even though I'm not a dad, but I have the bod of a dad, and the shirt, like, I don't know. It just makes me feel good. It's a great shirt.
You guys ever just take a shirt and wear it as boxers because you wanted to feel free, but also, like, covered at the same time?
I don't know, like, you put your legs through the armholes or something?
Yeah, you put your legs through the armhole and then wear the neckline, like, around the waist. And then it's kind of like a dress a little bit.
Or you could just wear a dress.
There you go. You
could do that, too.
Instead of trying to shove thighs through armholes.
Yeah. That's true. But as a kid, you know.
I kind of like the idea because then you have the neck hole and you don't even have to take the shirt off to, like, use the
bathroom.
That's what
I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it's genius. You just go, man.
Recording stopped.
I don't know if it's genius. Drew. I would. Yeah, Drew's like, this isn't genius. I'm leaving.
He's going to put one on right now.
Genius was the wrong word. Goodbye. Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
He probably got struck by lightning or something. But we can move on. We'll find out at the end, see if he's still alive.
Oh, man.
It said recording stopped on my end.
That's okay. I got it.
Yeah, it's just his, like, little video thing or whatever. So yeah.
Okay, cool. James, I was recording going. A backup of my track anyway.
Okay, so. Awesome.
Look at that. Hell yeah.
Professional. You're a pro.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with one. There's a show I've recently discovered. I heard about it a while ago, and I just never got to it. It's one of those things. There's so much TV that it's hard to keep up. But Beef. It's Netflix, A24, Ali Wong, who I'm a huge fan of, Steven Yeun. I'm probably saying the name wrong, but they like get into like a road rage incident, and then basically they keep going back and forth, and like all of a sudden they put each other in each other's lives in like a negative way, because you usually hear the just random instances, and then it ends up being positive. So this is like in a negative way. Road rage leads to them like trying to go back at each other, and like it's a dark comedy, but then it's kind of eye opening at the same time of like sometimes just like, hey, let shit go, you know? But like it's a really, really fucking good show. It's like endearing. Like you just get hooked into it, and it just grabs you and won't let you go.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I binged the hell out of it. Like the day it was released, I watched. Oh, I was like, okay. Oh, just watch one. And then I sat there and I was like, oh, right? I'm doing this for the next 10 hours.
I watched one and then I watched two and then I watched three and I'm like, whoa, what happened? You know, it just like pulls you in the weirdest way possible.
It takes some hard pivots too, like obviously no spoilers, but you think, yeah, you know like where the limit is on the show, and then it's like, fuck you, no, it's way scarier and more intense, and you're like, oh my god, and this all started from road rage.
Yeah,
being shitty in a parking lot.
Yeah, episode three, I think it was, there was like an instance where like I was like literally like crying. I'm like, what just happened, you know? Like, because it's like, even though, like, in my head, like, that's, like, way beyond anything I would fucking do, right? Like, in my head, it, like, almost, like, checks me of, like, hey, this thing that's, like, a big deal, like, it's not really that fucking big of a deal. Look where it can lead to, you know? But it's really fucking good.
Hell yeah.
There he is.
Yeah, apparently my internet was like, I'm going to bed. Because it's not working right now, so.
All good. Oh, yeah, and then me and James went to a little football game, had a hell of a time.
Oh, yeah, that was a great, that's my, yeah. That's actually my real Raven.
Yeah.
Not the shirt, the stupid shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, not the shirt that you can wear as bottoms.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah, geniusly wear it as bottoms.
Yeah, or hey guys, get a skirt. Because the thing is, I didn't want the dress because I don't want the top portion. I just want the bottom portion. So I got to get a long skirt.
Yeah.
Ooh, a maxi skirt.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want one of those pencil ones. Like, you know, I don't want my butt all like tightened up while I'm sleeping. You know. Yeah. We got Drew.
I don't know if anyone talked about this, but I watched Totally Killer this week.
Oh, nice. Actually,
oh, my God. That will be probably my favorite movie of the year. Like, it was so much fun. It's on Amazon Prime, and if those who don't know, it's basically just putting Halloween and Back to the Future together in one movie, and it is so much fucking fun. Yeah. Julie Bowen, God, I can never remember her name, but it's Sally from Mad Men. It's the main character. Yeah. She's in. Oh my god! Like her going back with the whole 2023 eyes to the 80s is like one of my favorite things. Like when she goes to the high school and she sees the mascot, and she's like, "Well, there's the racism." Yeah,
it says murder is so 1987.
Yeah, yeah. So there's basically like a killer that who terrorized this town 35 years ago, and he comes back, and then she has to go back in time to try to, you know, to stop the killer from even happening in the first place. So, it's really fun.
Old Max Headroom looking ass.
Yeah.
The mask is supposed to be a combination of Dolph Lundgren and Rob Lowe, but he does just look like Max Headroom.
Yeah. I thought it was. The way Michael Myers is just like William Shatner. Like, I thought they did that. They just painted like a Headroom white.
I love this mask though.
Yeah.
I could see this being like a new mask that just people wear just randomly on Halloween if this movie picks up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. Like, and I've like any, especially if like, I feel like if somebody has like teenage kids, like this is the movie to watch with them because it's so like, it's so fun. And just, I think it would be a really good bonding experience between the two generations.
I like Lachlan Monroe, and I was just actually, the movie Dead Man on Campus. I was literally just talking about this last night, the scene where he pulls the gun out of the glove box and he turns to the guy and he says, "The cops hate it when you do this." And he just starts shooting at the cop car. That makes me laugh. So I love that guy. I'm glad to see him doing stuff.
Yeah. I know. When he popped up, I was so good.
Yeah. Shit, hell yeah. BJ, what do you got? Anything good that you...
Anything good?
Yeah, okay. I am going to shout out Gen V on Prime Video.
Yes!
Their college spinoff in the Boys universe. I'm obsessed with it.
Yes.
I got to cover it for work, so I've seen the season, and it was another one. I sat there, and I was like, oh, my screeners are here? This is what I'm doing for the rest of my day. I love The Boys. Like, I genuinely love The Boys, but Gen V just really zeroes in on what I want, and it's funny, and it's gruesome, and it's, you know, saying some pretty important stuff in terms of, you know, growing up and mental health and societal pressure and all this stuff. Yeah. It's so fucking good.
Big time representation into a lot of areas. And
oh,
places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really love The Boys, and I don't want to ever like pit two things against each other, but like Gen V just hits different for me. I cannot get over how obsessed I am with the show. I was really nervous. I was like, this could either be great or this could be ass. And fortunately it's great.
Yeah.
It's so good how they've played, and I haven't obviously seen everything yet, but it's so good how they've also played into some of the stuff from The Boys and like pulled it, but then also went off and did its own thing at the same time. Like, and it still gives you those like moments. Like, I was with James on Sunday, and I was like, "Hey, have you seen any of Gen V yet?" He's like, "No, not yet." I was like, "Stop what we're doing. Let's just watch one episode before we leave." And I just watched James's face during like the first like holy shit moment, and his jaw was literally dropped for like a minute and a half.
Oh, it was crazy. And I feel like that first episode gave me a new fetish that I didn't even know I had. now I'm totally for it. So we're gonna need a shrinking machine of some type.
Is this when we find out you're gonna start looking up the videos where they like force perspective, have women like crush buildings with their feet?
That's exactly. I need a 50-foot tall woman, or I need a shrink ray. Man. I don't know.
Call it King Kong in it. It's so fucking good.
That's great. That's and awesome.
Arnold's son, who knew?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And it's so crazy.
So he's,
like,
He's in a great horror movie called Daniel Isn't Real. Highly recommend that shit. Okay. He's phenomenal in it. And he also is playing opposite of Susan Sarandon's son, her son with Tim Robbins. Yeah, so it's like two Nepo babies being like unbelievably talented in one movie.
Oh my goodness. And that main girl in Gen V, holy
shit. Oh, Jess Sinclair. Yeah, she's remarkable. She's so fucking talented.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
With the... I love it. And if you are not caught up, all I will say is Puppet Massacre. That's all I'm going to say. It's the greatest TV scene I've seen all year. Unbelievable. Unfucking believable.
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited. Yeah, it's been my new passion is Gen V. That and Beef.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome. All right. You know, now that I think about it, I have always had the idea that I've always wanted to be, like, held in a giant's hand. So, like, maybe that's where that stems from, you know? Don't do that again. Here we go.
Play it back, Kevin.
I almost raven-sheeted again. All right. Man. So, now I'm on my last pick, or my fifth pick for my team here. So, I'm going to go with a movie from 2019. And I've seen this movie. It was a lot of fun. It's just cheesy, corny survival movie, but it worked. It worked in the way they did it. It worked. And this is a movie called Crawl. And what happens in this movie is there's a hurricane going on, and this girl's house gets totally destroyed. And next thing you know, she finds herself stuck in the crawl space under the house with a bunch of man-eating alligators ready to take her out. So...
it's so awesome.
It really is. It was a fun movie, and it's entertaining. I mean, it's just cheesy survival, but I mean, I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it, so.
Hell yeah. I love that movie. Yeah. I saw it in theaters, and I was like, yeah, this is my shit all day.
Yeah. It's definitely good. It's rewatchable, too. I feel like, yeah. And I'm glad that BJ is the one chiming in, because I feel like that means it's even better.
It is good. My wife loves, this might give away something I'm talking about later, but my wife loves Jaws ripoff movies. And there's a special place for Crawl, and we do joke all the time, like, you're an apex predator at each other, because that's a stupid motivational thing the dad keeps saying, like, you're an apex predator. And he's like, you're a swimmer. Calm down.
Oh, man.
That's where Randy Orton got it.
Hell yeah. Oh, man. I highly suggest Crawl. Crawl's a fun movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
You said under the house for a minute, and I got a little worried because I don't like the confined space type shit.
Well, this is very confined, and it's filling up with water and everything. It's flooding. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's like, if I had like one way that I wouldn't want to die, I think it would be like that, buried alive or whatever, yeah. Or just drowning. Those two. Those seem like the worst ones.
Drowning would definitely, in my opinion, would be the worst way to die.
Yeah.
Because, like, you would breathe all that in, and you would feel it all being breathed, you know what I mean?
See, that's why I don't fuck with water all that much, you know?
Yeah. You don't even drink it. You're like, fuck water completely.
Yep. I only drink ice.
My blood flows with Pepsi.
Yep, I put Pepsi in the freezer and then break it up and... just eat it, because I'm terrified to drink.
You know that's a sign of rabies, right? Like being hydrophobic? Yeah.
Oh, shit.
No, I'm not, like, terrified. Like, I like water. I just don't like water at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
No, I feel you. I'm really bad at drinking water. I'll be on, like, my third energy drink, and my wife's like, water? Water.
You should have a water between one of those.
That's where I have to, like, mix in, like, liquid death or something. Like, I need bougie-ass water to, like, be able to drink water.
Get
like,
some somebody's
like, you want
squeezies?
Some tap water? Nope. I definitely don't want tap water.
All right, Drew. You're back.
Okay. I'm going to go with... Get my list back up here. Let's go with the faculty.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, you named two of my movies, and that's one of them. So, what a fun movie! Like, there's just the whole, I don't know, all those ridiculous alien scenes are so much fun.
Josh Hartnett, man.
I miss Josh Hartnett.
I love that guy.
Shitty haircut.
Yeah. It's such a good cast.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess he was. I haven't seen the Oppenheimer or whatever, but I guess he was in that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was
that cast is perfect. Teens and adults. Because all the teens are like, you know, up and comers that are going to blow up and be great. But then you get like Baby Newirth and Jon Stewart and Famke Janssen and Piper Laurie, rest in peace. Like, you get like all these great teachers too. And then
Selma Hayek
and fucking Christopher McDonald is Usher. Elijah Wood's dad. Usher's there. People need to check this out the next time they watch it. During the scene where Elijah Wood's getting in trouble and his dad's like going through and is like, no more internet, no more whatever. He lifts up his bed to take his porn. And like, you know how in movies they have like beer brand beer? His porno mag is Boob Magazine. And it makes me laugh every single time.
God, I want a subscription.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, my favorite porn mag, Boob Magazine. With my beer brand beer.
Look, people laugh, but I legit went to see The Faculty because Usher was in it. This was 98. Like, I was in my like R&B phase. Like, I went and saw a movie because Cisco was in it. Like, yeah.
How sad were you that Usher is not in this movie nearly as much as he was in the advertising for it?
Big time, big time. But they made up for it with Light It Up.
Oh, that's fair.
In 1999, yeah.
They made up for this.
Okay, that came out the wrong way.
Years later, they gave him a real shot at a movie.
Banger of a movie.
All right, Andy.
Okay, here we go. Do I take a good one, or do I... You guys mentioned one already. Yeah, fuck it, I'll take it. Even though it happens in the water mostly, just for the scene where he knocks a dude's head off, I got to take Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've gotten all of like the big guys like out there from the horror scene, so we got to get Jason, right?
Mhm.
But beautiful. Yeah, this does take place like 3/4 of the movie like on the boats.
Yeah, it's essentially like Dracula. People don't realize how much time is spent on that fucking boat.
Well,
hey, that's why we got the last of the Demeter this year.
Dracula
takes a boat.
Yeah. I never mentioned the boat. It's always on a boat. Let's call this one the boat.
Fun movie though. This is actually one of my favorite. You know, Jason movies that there is Takes Manhattan, which maybe that's not a popular opinion, but it's just, I think it's the fun one.
It's just so goofy. It's the goofiest one.
Which that's up the alley that I like. So it makes sense where this one would be my favorite one. Oh, we got double the Drew.
Ooh.
That's it. Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I was trying to be low-key about it, but, you know.
Right.
All right, BJ, you're back.
Pouring you out.
All right. So I promised this one was actually next on my list, and I'm not just piggybacking off of James here. What you know about Alligator, the movie Alligator, there is a Jaws ripoff. It is about the urban legend of letting a baby alligator into the sewer, and then it mutates and it becomes huge. And then you have Ramon, the alligator, terrorizing Chicago. And for whatever reason, he exclusively only wants to eat rich people and cops, which I can get behind. he crashes a wedding. He eats a cop car. Alligator Rules. It also is a Robert Forster movie. And it's just him being a cool fucking guy the whole movie. It's part of why he ended up getting cast in the movie Jackie Brown, because Quentin Tarantino was like, this fucking guy. Robert Forster in Alligator is just incredible. The alligator looks kind of sweet, but it is an animal run amok movie, and it's great, and I wish more people have seen it. I think it might still be on Shudder, but it's just alligator terrorizing Chicago.
I've never even heard of this, but it looks amazing, and I love the poster.
Oh, there's so much fun. It's the second one is a movie. The first one's genuinely fun.
okay.
It lives 50 feet beneath like the city. Shutter. It's 36 feet long. It weighs 2,000 pounds, and it's about to break out. Alligator.
It's so good.
I love it.
Looks awesome.
And I love that he has a name, and like. It's like the girl grows up and it's like, oh no, is that Ramon who I flushed down the toilet as a child? And it's like, yeah, bitch, this is your fault. You did this.
She went straight to that.
Well, this is great too, because it says that she purchases a baby alligator while on vacation in Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Hell yeah.
I think in the biz they call that synergy.
And we have an alligator farm where I live. I think it's like the famous one. So,
can you buy alligators?
I don't think you can buy them. I'm pretty sure you can't buy them.
What, in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it's called Gatorland or something like that.
Isn't the one guy, wasn't he around here? The tiger guy? Tiger King?
Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, that was Tampa area. Yeah.
Joe wasn't here though. It was the Carol Baskin.
Oh, okay. Carol Baskin.
Yeah.
Whose husband is actually alive and everyone's real shitty.
100%. Yeah. This is the 2020s Tupac, you know? Carol Baskin's husband.
Oh god.
Which, hey, I guess shout out for finding the killer this many years later. Sheesh.
All right. BJ, you got three honorables for us?
What?
Three honorables.
Yeah.
So my three honorables are very weird honorables.
That's okay.
So the first one is just the Poltergeist, because in Poltergeist 3, they end up in Chicago in an apartment building. So, you know, traveling ghosts. my second honorable is The Relic, a movie that I think is like kind of underrated, but I had some better ones to choose from. So that's my two. And then... my first one, and this is like such a beyond stretch, but I don't care. The Amityville Horror, which you're like, that is actually in Amityville. And the reason that there are so many Amityville sequels is because they can't copyright Amityville because it's a real place. That is true. But in the remake with very buff Ryan Reynolds, they shot a couple scenes at a church in Antioch, Illinois, close to where I grew up. And so... I can, again, traveling ghosts. could take the Amityville Horror and play it in Illinois just to be an asshole. But I didn't, so those are my honorables.
You know, that Ryan Reynolds remake, it actually did scare me a little bit. Like, that was a good, I felt like it was good. I enjoyed it.
There's some pretty good stuff in it. Like there is some good stuff in it.
When the little girl takes his finger and shoves it into the bullet hole in her head, like the ghost girl or whatever, they're in the closet together. Yeah, that's good shit on me.
Well, and his daughter in that, not the ghost daughter, but the other one, is Chloe Grace Moretz. And people forget that all the time because she's so little in that movie.
I did forget that.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Love that.
All right, Andy, what do you got?
First one I'm going to go with is Basket Case. That nice. Is right up my alley of the type of movies that I like. Next one I'll go with is give me 1408.
Ooh, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
John Cusack.
Enjoyed that one.
I was actually thinking, like, man, I almost wish I was born in Maine for this one.
Oh, my God.
Just get all the Stephen King movies.
You'd be one of 17 people that was born there.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'll go with, lastly, this one was kind of weird. I didn't really, actually, I'm not going to do it because I feel like it's more adjacent and I'd rather take something else. So I'm going to go Quiet Place 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen it.
Upper New York. But yeah, that one's, all those quiet places are very, like, because of like how quiet it is, like very anxiety inducing because like there's not much going on and that's almost like more terrifying when like you know a noise is gonna like set things off. That almost like puts you in a weirder, like more anxiety ridden kind of space.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking about this and like, cause somebody asked me what my favorite type of horror movie was. And I think it goes back to why I love Halloween so much is because I am more like of the suspense, like a quiet place, I love being out the edge of my seat more than anything. Like, and that movie, like I said, I remember watching it for the first time and just being like, quietly moving about the house like I didn't want to like make a noise I'm like going from the living room to the kitchen as I'm still watching it like I hope they don't find me.
Oh man, if you're like that like mom or whatever that puts chips in your purse to go to the movie theater and like you're trying to slowly open up a bag of chips to a quiet place, you're in the wrong movie. And then you, like, take a bite of the chip, but you're, like, doing it very softly. Yeah, you better get those ruffles that just melt in your mouth.
I feel like this is a really good, like, I think you should leave sketch where it's, like, somebody trying to watch A Quiet Place 3 and they just have all these snacks.
They're, like, Takis, too. Like, extra crunchy.
There's just somebody in the back going, shut the fuck up!
Take your bag outside!
Oh, all right, Drew.
All right, I'm gonna go with the one I was telling Andy, like, definitely his kid can watch. It's a lot of fun, and you know, I always liked these when I was kids, so you know, I think that was what made it fun, and that's Super 8. When we were kids, there was always like there were so many movies where like kids were the heroes and everything like that. And I feel like that really brought it back. Like it had a good Monster Squad type feel to it.
I like that.
Next, I'm going to go with The Dead Next Door.
Oh.
Yeah, this is like all things 89 zombies, you know? It is just like you just watch any clip from it and you're like, oh yeah, this is,
oh jeez.
Like, I feel like the VHS like box cover art most people recognize because like the face chain that's like singed in my brain.
And I feel like, James, like you have that thing where you want to be ground to a nub like out of a car. Like
BJ doesn't know what that is.
James, the way James wants to die is he wants to somebody like.
No, it's not how I want to die. It's just how I want to get rid of one of my legs.
Oh, okay. Is to just open the car door and just put his foot down on the road as he's going down the highway. And it just rubs it down. But I'm pretty sure this is the movie where that happens to one of the zombies.
Oh, really? Okay. The Dead Next Door.
Yeah.
So I can get a feel for how it's going to be when I finally
I remember right, there's like a zombie hanging from a car that's just ground away.
Yeah, I typed in The Dead Next Door, hit images, and there's like a bunch of eyeballs with a cross through it. So it's like blurring the images out. So mm-hmm. I know that's probably a sign that, one, why is Safe Search on my internet? And two, there are probably some terrifying images.
So you better take the third pick.
And
man.
Then last one is going to be the Scooby-Doo movie.
Oh. Yeah!
I feel like I should explain the nub thing.
Nope.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. The imagination's better.
All right. Let the mystery be, James.
Mm-hmm. So here we go. These three movies for my honorables I've never seen because I got real, like, my list dwindled very quickly, and now this is where I'm at. So in 1972, there was a movie called Blood Feast.
Yeah.
And
fun for the whole Thanksgiving family.
And it takes place in, hold on, it's in here somewhere. I promise it's in Florida. That's as far as I know. All right. Now a movie from 1987 called Blood Rage.
Well, maybe that's the Thanksgiving one. I think I had them backwards.
This one says Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, Blood Rage is Thanksgiving.
Yeah. This one takes place in Jacksonville, Florida. And it has an appearance by Ted Raimi. And then finally, so I guess Ted Raimi must be Sam Raimi's brother.
He is. Ted Raimi is also in Candyman. He is the leather boyfriend who gets killed.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Ted Raimi's in a lot of movies, actually. Like a lot of, like, suspiciously a lot of movies.
It's like Ron Howard's brother?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very much that. And he
looks this face is recognizable.
He looks just like Sam Raimi.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. But his face is definitely, like, recognizable of, like, that guy. You know?
Yeah. And then finally, this movie is, I think, also from 1987. And it is a trilogy of movies of the movie It's Alive. And it's Alive 3, Island of the Alive.
This has got to be so bad.
It looks like
the first It's Alive is fun and stupid. It's all downhill from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Alive 3 shouldn't have happened. I haven't seen it, and I know it shouldn't have happened.
Larry Cohen squeezed three of them out of this. It's Alive bullshit. Well, yeah. It's got a bassinet on the beach, and there's just like an evil hand coming out of the bassinet.
Yep.
It's Alive. Island of the Alive.
Yeah. Yeah, they can't even do the tagline right.
I know. It doesn't.
The It's Alive babies are back, .. All right. I kind of want to see it now. I'm not going to lie.
I didn't even know Drew fell out.
Oh, yeah. That internet.
He's telling me he wants to come back, but I'm blocking him out because I removed him before.
Yeah, get out of here, Drew. All right, well, we will ask the question without Drew being here. Is there any ad drops or trades or steals that anybody wants to do here? I'm thinking no, but, you know, if anybody wants to, you know what? Nah, I'm gonna keep my squad. BJ, James, want to ad drop or no? You good? Locked in.
I'm locked in.
You sure you don't want to get It's Alive 3 on your main roster?
No, I keep it down where it needs to stay.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, these are not honorables by any stretch of the imagination. I just do want to shout out that Damien the Omen 2 was shot in Chicago, so I could have had the spawn of Satan himself.
Oh, shit.
And I also could have had Bagul, because Sinister 2 is shot around Illinois, like Kankakee, Illinois, which is middle of fucking Corntown, Illinois. But I did not, because I'm very happy with my squad.
So who's, like, what would you say state-wise is probably, like, the better horror one? Like, in my head, I was thinking, like, you know, New York would be up there. Ohio, Illinois is like absolutely surprising me with like how much is there. Is it Illinois or is it Ohio?
I honestly think it would be Ohio. I think Ohio has more to choose from. Yeah. Just Illinois has like really high highs.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. I thought New York would actually have a lot more than they do. Like at the highest level, but they didn't have as much. Like,
you could have also had Ghostface with the new Scream movie, because that takes place in New York.
Oh, see, I haven't seen that.
Oh, shit. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's terrorizing in New York City on the subway, in bodegas. Another
that's
movie.
That's going to be good.
And this movie, I think you could also show your kid. There's a movie, it's on Netflix, called Vampires versus the Bronx.
Yes, I love that movie.
That movie fucking rules.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very close to taking that one and Werewolves Within.
Oh, I love Werewolves Within. Yeah. Those great movies.
Like, that's the Black Paul Rudd. Sam Richardson's the
Sam
most likable dude.
I love him. God.
Like, there's zero chance anyone can not like that dude. And we're all huge into the After Party.
The After Party's great.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, we like literally put steel cards on the line like at the beginning of the season. And we all had to like guess, and like each week a new episode came out, we'd talk about it, like just the way they flip in between the different like genres and all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff is amazing. But yeah, Sam Richardson's just like, that guy's just so adorable.
Yeah, he's great. Yeah. He's killer.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, I will read off the squads. I think Drew's having a tough time getting back, so later, Drew. For James's team of Florida movies, pick one, Creature from the Black Lagoon. Two, Day of the Dead. Three, The Devil's Advocate. Four, Bully. And five, Crawl. For Drew's team of Ohio State movies, one, A Nightmare on Elm Street, just the series. Two, Silence of the Lambs. Three, Trick or Treat. Four, Scream 2. And five, The Faculty. For Andy's team of New York movies, one, Ghostbusters. Two, that classic Frankenhooker. Three, Rosemary's Baby. Fuck Roman Polanski. Four, Chud. And five, Jason Takes Manhattan. And four, BJ's team of Illinois movies. One, Candyman. Two, Halloween. Three, Child's Play. Four, Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And five, that banger, Alligator.
Alligator.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm excited to see Alligator actually the most.
You're going to have so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so dumb and great.
It's like perfect, like with what I like. Cause like you see, like I like Basket Case, Chud, Frankenhooker. That movie, The Stuff, I think it was. You know what I'm talking about?
The Stuff's great.
Yeah. Like, so that style of like movie is just like right up my alley. Oh man, this was a fun one.
Yeah, this was
Wes. Great. Good job on the topic, buddy.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
So, well, right.
Thanks as always. You can find BJ at This Ends at Prom on IG, at BJ Colangelo. And is there any other places they can find you or should be looking for you?
Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, at BJ Colangelo.
There it is.
Hell yeah.
All right. BJ, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. This was great. Yeah. This was super fun.
It was a lot of fun. I'm an alligator. Alligator is the hit of the draft.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Exactly.
My wife's going to be so happy. Her like banner photo on Twitter forever has been Ramon eating a man, and it says eat the rich. So.
Hell yeah. Tell Harmony we said hello, by the way.
Yeah, I will.
We got to get her back on very soon because, Oh, man, that first one was an absolute banger of an episode. Yeah. So for Harmony and BJ, see you later, alligator.